Would you turn in your Bibles, please, this morning to Matthew chapter 24? Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter. I want to begin reading this morning from the 32nd verse through the end of the chapter. I have a good bit of Scripture I want to read this morning, and I think today we will mostly read Scripture, and then I'll just share on it, comment on it as we go along. I want to make one very important, absolutely essential point. And I probably could make it without reading so much Scripture, but since the Word is the power of God, I'm going to share the Scriptures that identify this point, make it clear, and I'm going to trust that the Spirit of God will work with His Word in the lives of any who are not ready to meet the Lord as yet. Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 through 51, these are the words of Jesus. He is talking here about the end of the age. We are so caught up in present day things that many of us do not have any view for the future. We can't think much beyond tomorrow or perhaps the end of the month when all of our payments are due. That's about as far ahead as we think. Very few people, other than believers, very few have a view much beyond that, at least to the point, what am I going to do forever? What's going to be my circumstances throughout all eternity? And every once in a while, the Lord will bring us to a point when we're forced to confront ourselves with that question. Oftentimes, it's at a funeral. Today is not a funeral, nobody's dead. But the Lord is taking advantage of this service to confront each of us with the fact that we do not have forever to look forward to automatically. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 3 says that it is appointed unto man once to die. You have an appointment with death. So do I. You'll not escape it. Every person has an appointment. You say, when is mine? I don't know when yours is, neither do you. I don't know when mine is, but I have already arranged that it doesn't matter when mine is. Can you say the same? I've already taken care of my future, and so if it's today, I'm set. If it's tomorrow, that's okay. If it's next week, that's okay. It doesn't matter when it is, I'm ready. I know it. I'm not concerned about it. How about you? I don't need any more time to prepare myself. I'm ready. Now learn a parable of the fig tree, Jesus said. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour, that is the coming of the Lord, that's what he's talking about, knoweth no man, no one. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then he tells us what it will be like in the day when he comes. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What was it like in the days of Noah? Verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. In other words, business as usual. We just went on with our everyday affairs. We went to work. We paid our bills. We ate. We drank. We had babies. We dedicated babies. We had marriages. We just went through the motions of living as if nothing, as if the future was not terribly important, as if it would take care of itself. Verse 39 says, they knew not until the flood came. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What's he saying? That it will be very similar to what happened in Noah's day when Jesus comes. There will be a large portion of the people of the world that will be living life as if there were no, as if there were 100 tomorrows, as if there was no end to it. There will be multitudes of people that will have absolutely no concern for the future. They think they have a full lifetime. Let me tell you something. You have no guarantee of another minute. The Bible says man's life is a vapor. It's here today and it's gone like that. Now you might very well have 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years. But have you ever known anybody that didn't? What if today was your day? Would what you have for dinner today be very important? Would what's at home on the stove cooking for lunch today, would that be important to you if you knew that this was the last day of your life? Jesus said there will be a large number of people that will be more concerned about what they eat and what they wear and about the things of this life than they will be about their eternal future. He said it was that way in the days of Noah, and it'll be just that way when I come. They will not know what hit them. When I come and this age comes to a close, they will all be taken away just as they were in the flood. Now, anybody who's got any sense will read this Bible and say, well, I see what happened in the days of Noah. It's going to happen again. I'd better get prepared for it. The world is more concerned with their retirement than they are with their eternal future. How many of you have a payroll deduction plan at your work or some kind of a profit-sharing arrangement where you have made provision for your retirement? Let me see your hand. The world over, people making plans, insurance, Social Security, retirement, and not having any concern for whether I've got another day to live on this planet. Jesus said in verse 40, then shall two be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. Say that with me. Therefore be ye also ready. That's the words of Jesus. He said you don't know when it's going to happen, but you can be ready for it. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunk. And in other words, it's not too important that I be concerned about today because my Lord's not coming for a while. He hasn't come recently and I've got lots of time. I've got much time to straighten up my life. I'm only 20 years old and I expect to live 70 or 80. My family has always had longevity. My father died at 87 years old. My mother's still alive and I know I'm going to have plenty of time. No, you don't. If you're basing your eternal future on your having another day and having another chance, you are living a lie. And if you're living on the basis that the Lord Jesus has delayed his coming, this is what will happen. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, that's all right. God will see that I've been a pretty good person. And he'll have mercy on me and he'll take me into his heaven. Whose lies have you been listening to? There's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus Christ. There is a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be people who will go there. My prayer is that nobody that hears me speak today would be among that group. What was it like in the days of Noah? Could we turn back to the book of Genesis? I would like to share a portion of that story with you. First of all, let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and let me set a stage here. I'm going to show you why people have trouble today getting interested in eternity. Why there are multitudes today who are not listening to the gospel as it's being preached, who are not listening to the warning even though it's being sounded. Genesis chapter 2 tells us the condition of the climate of the earth in the day that Noah lived. Reading verses 4, 5, and 6. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the heaven, the earth, and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb or vegetable of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Did you know that when God created the earth, rain was not a part of the earth's climate? Did you know that until the time of Noah, it had never rained? Did you know that the Bible says right here that God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, but that the earth was watered by its dew, and the plants had their moisture from the dew that came on the earth every morning, during the night, and then in the morning hours? Men did not know what rain was. Now, if you'll turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, you will begin to see why men did not respond to the message of Noah. Starting to read in the fifth verse, this was the circumstance in the earth in those days. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. He was heartbroken, in other words, over what he saw. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. The next few verses, God tells Noah to build an ark. He described how big he should make it and exactly how he should construct it. For in verse 17, God said, Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort. Now notice these next four words. How are they going to get into the ark? They will come. They will not be driven, but they will come. God said everything that was going to be saved would come unto Noah, would come unto the ark, that they would hear the stirring of the Spirit of God on their inside, and they would come into the ark. Have you ever wondered how Noah got the tigers in the ark? Have you ever tried to catch a kangaroo? How many of you have ever tried to catch a bird, a rabbit, a squirrel, a mouse? How did he get them in the ark? Was he a Pied Piper? No. The Spirit of God stirred within them, and they came unto him and came unto the ark. Now, if you understand anything about the message of the gospel, you understand that that's exactly what's happening today. That the Spirit of God is stirring inside people's hearts by the word of the Lord, and people are recognizing that the rain is coming, that the judgment of God is coming upon the earth, and they're looking for the ark of God to get in to save them from destruction, because they know that if you're not in the ark, they know that it's coming to destroy everything that is left. That's exactly what's happening today. God said through Noah that there was a flood coming upon the earth. Most people laughed at it. They said, how would the dew make a flood? He said, well, it's going to rain. Verse number 4 in chapter 7, God described to Moses, or to Noah, that he was going to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and it would kill everything that was on the earth. And as Noah spoke to the people, they said, "Rain, what are you talking about? We've never seen rain. It's never rained. What do you mean, Noah, it's going to rain? It's going to flood the earth and everything's going to be destroyed. You just go on with your crazy doctrine." The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 7, the Lord said to Noah, "Come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." All of those that were right with God were taken into the ark. All of those who had heard the voice of God, responded to it, were taken into the ark. Those that were left were destroyed. Verse 4, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Verse number 10, "And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. And the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark, and every beast after his kind." Verse number 17, "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed," or were strong, "were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. There was no place for man to hide. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man." I want you to see that apart from the salvation that God provides, every man will be destroyed. There will be destruction for every person who does not accept the salvation that God provides. There is no other means for deliverance other than God's means. For those that refuse the ark, there was death. And today, for those that refuse Jesus, there's death. It's the same. "All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed that was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things, fowl of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." Now, I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, chapter number 7. Revelation chapter 7. I'm sorry, chapter 8 is the chapter I want. I'm going to begin to read in the first verse. This is a description of a future event. We have read from the book of Genesis the description of an historical event, the flood. We saw what happened. Jesus prophesied concerning his future return, and he said, "When I come again, it will be just like it was in the days of Noah." Not so much that there would be a flood, but rather there would be a lack of expectancy in the hearts of many men, and those that were not prepared for his coming would face destruction. John the Revelator had the picture, the vision, of exactly how that would take place many years after the death of Jesus, after his burial and his resurrection. And this is the record in chapter 8. "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and filled it with the fire from the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now I want you to notice here what rained out of heaven, or what will rain out of heaven, when God's judgment comes once again to judge the earth. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. The third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died. The third part of the ship were destroyed. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood. The third part of the waters became wormwood, and many died of the waters because they were made bitter. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And sun and air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now, in spite of the fact that the Word of God clearly tells us that there is a day coming, Jesus said, no man knows when that day is, that it is coming at a time when men expect not, that in that day, the day of the judgment of the Lord, there will be amazing things happen, things that have never happened before. There will be hail and fire mingled with blood, and it will come out of the heavens like rain. And it will destroy a third of all of earth's vegetation. But there are those who are saying today, well, that has never happened before. What's to make us think that it will ever happen in the future? That is the figment of somebody's imaginative idea. Then the Bible says that there will come a time when there will be a great mountain burning with fire, and it will be cast out of the heavens, and it will fall to the earth and into the sea, and a third of the sea would become like blood. There are those that are saying, that's incredible. How could you possibly believe such a far-fetched thing? Nothing like that has ever happened before. What makes you think it ever will? This is somebody's wild imagination. The Bible says that there was a great star, or will be a great star, fall from heaven, burning like a lamp, and it will fall upon the fresh waters of the earth, and they will become bitter. Men will die because there is no fresh water to drink. And what they drink will be poisoned. And there are those that will say, well, that has never happened before. What a wild and far-fetched idea. How can that possibly be? I'm not going to base my eternal future. I'm not going to base my life on something so wild like that, something that has never happened before. But the Word of God says that the light will be smitten for a third. The sun will be darkened. Well, I've seen eclipses and the sun is darkened for a few moments, but whoever saw it darkened for a third? The sun or the moon. I'm not going to base my eternal future on that fact. I'm not even going to give that any consideration when I determine the kind of life that I'm going to live. The Bible says that there's a day coming when a star will fall from heaven, and a pit, a horrible pit, will open up in the earth, and a supernatural heinous demonic beings will escape from that pit and will torment those that are alive upon the earth who have not trusted in the Lord God. And the torment will be so grievous that men will cry out wanting to die and will be unable to. Yet there are multitudes all around us, and perhaps some sitting in this congregation today, that would say, why should I be concerned about that? That's never happened before. What makes you think it ever will happen? I want to remind you of something. It had never rained before Noah built the ark. Men had never seen rain, but God said it was going to rain. And he gave in that day to all men an opportunity to be saved. He prepared an ark. But there were only 8 that entered the ark. In our day, God has prepared an ark as well. The name of that ark is Jesus Christ. You will find your salvation in him or in none other. And I would say to you today, I want you to remember that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. That when Jesus comes, there will be those who are saying, oh, it won't rain. Rain, what are you talking about, man? You're crazy. It'll never rain. Just like it was in the days of Noah. And the floods will come from heaven, not rain, but the floods of God's judgment will come from heaven and destroy all of those who refuse the invitation of the Lord Jesus. I speak this to you today because I don't want anybody who's under the sound of my voice to go one more day believing that they automatically have plenty of time. You may have plenty of time. I don't know what your day is. I don't know when you're going to have to face judgment. I don't know that. God hasn't committed that to me. He didn't commit it to Christ. Why should he commit it to me? He hasn't committed it to you. But Jesus said we could be ready. I encourage you to get ready. The way you get ready is by giving your life to Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are running the biggest risk that a person could ever run. If you're unwilling to give your life to Jesus, you are risking all eternity. There's no need for you to risk it. You know the truth. And can I encourage you and urge you to simply respond to that? You say, Pastor, how do I respond? You respond by calling out to Jesus, by confessing your sins to him, by asking him to come into your heart, to be your Savior, to be your Lord, by trusting in him completely for your salvation, and by believing that when the flood of judgment comes, that the ark of Jesus will carry you over it. I can give you God's guarantee that it will. I have staked my life on it. And if I had it to do all over again, I'd do it again, only sooner. Would you bow your heads with me, please?